T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'd also like to take this time to point out a very valuable sports fact. The Oklahoma City Dodgers are the LA Dodgers AAA baseball.
Okay. Explains a lot.
Could it explain the hat?
No. No, it doesn't. No. No. It only means one thing.
I think it's Stacy's eyes, as the kids say, it ain't that deep.
No, it's not that deep.
I think for Stacy, it ain't that deep.
Nope, not that deep.
Adam Amin, I'm so disappointed in you. I was in actual LA when Stacy called me out, and then I just happened to end up on the pre and post game show on Monday. Actual LA, where the LA hat originated. And I know you were just loyal.
I'm standing up for my guy. All right. He's my guy. I gotta have his back on this.
You're being loyal. And I understand.
I'm a loyal man. I'm a loyal man. That's my guy.
I love Stacy too.
These sportscasters ain't loyal.
He is. Adam is.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know what the barometer for the loyalty is in this particular regard. But I gotta hold the guys. I gotta hold the guys back here, man. That's I do enjoy. It's so random. This is like the most. If we introduce this concept to anybody outside of Chicago, they'd go, "What are you guys talking about?" When you bring this up all the time, and it's my favorite inside joke on this on between all of us on these Bulls studio broadcast crew synergized crossovers. It's my favorite inside joke.
Does somebody want to whiteboard it?
Well, let's also tell people we're talking to Bulls play-by-play. That's my fault. I railroaded the segment already. Bulls play-by-play guy. And he is also announcing the Bears game this week, as we saw.
Yay!
Go, Adam Amin! We'll test your loyalty now, Adam.
Lukewarm, tepid response.
It started when, actually, I think Adam was off for football, if I am not correct, in a Bulls preseason game.
That is correct.
The origin of all great inside jokes happening in preseason time, where Miss Vivian, noted Bulls fan, had turned 100. And Stacy had a picture with Miss Vivian that Mark Brady put on TV. And it said L.A. So Jason Benetti started messing with Stacy and was like, "Oh, you're cheering for an L.A. team there, are you, Stacy?" And he's like, "Well, that LA stands for the Lawton area, as in Lawton, Oklahoma, where I'm from." And then, Adam, I forget where you picked it up exactly in the dramatic turn of events.
I think he had told me about the origin of the hat, which, again, I love it. There was a time when Fred Durst was very popular and Limp Bizkit was like the most popular band in America when I was like 13, and all of us wore red Yankee hats. And then we just wore every color of Yankee hat. Did we care about the Yankees? No, but we were sadly.
You guys were doing it all for the Nookie. That's what it was.
We were very much, Significant Other was a very important album in 1999. So we'll just leave it at that.
Keep rolling. And now it became, because poor Jason had COVID, it was the first thing I teed off on the crossover on the season opener show. And then out of nowhere, I'm minding my own business in Los Angeles with my brothers for his birthday.
I was watching it live and just focusing on everyone's face during it. And it was truly a magical thing. So we thank you for continuing the inside joke on our show. And hopefully it continues the next time that Layla is filling in for Jason Goff. And we thank you for being on the show. Why don't we start Bears? Instead of starting Bulls, let's start Bears. Don't make that noise, Dan. So, look, obviously you've seen Justin Fields up close. It's a very different thing when Justin Fields isn't on the field. What are you hearing about whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to try and own the Bears yet again?
I get the sense that if he can play, he is going to play. And obviously he said as much on the Pat McAfee show and all that in his normal spot yesterday. I'm fascinated by the Green Bay saga because, you know, Darius Slay said some things the other day, obviously the excellent cornerback for Philadelphia, and they just saw Green Bay and they saw Jordan Love for a good chunk of that game and saw how impressive he was. I mean, he had some really good drives, good throws. He looked comfortable. And when you get somebody of that stature on the defensive side of the ball giving you some praise, it's hard not to think about where the future of the Green Bay Packers goes. And obviously in Chicago, we care about that because Aaron Rodgers has had all this success, 24-5, kind of a not so great playoff game that he played, but that 2011 NFC Championship game sticks out. It's one of the 24 out of 29 wins he has, or 24 wins he has out of the 29 meetings. So obviously the future of the Packers very much impacts the Bears. What Jordan Love did the other night against a really good Philadelphia defense was impressive in a short stint. Would he get exposed going forward? Perhaps. But the questions have to be asked. Is it worth it to play Jordan Love right now? And I feel like those questions were kind of lingering this past week as well after the Justin Fields injury against Atlanta late. It's, do you want to shut him down? Do you need to keep giving him the reps? I'm of the opinion that if he's healthy, you keep giving him as many reps as humanly possible, but you don't have to rush him back. So I was fascinated by the permutations of what we're going to see quarterback-wise come Sunday. I think Fields is going to practice today in a limited capacity. I think Simeon is sitting out after his oblique issue the other day.
Yeah, but the fact that they signed Tim Boyle off the Lions practice squad is meaningful.
It is meaningful because you don't sign a quarterback unless you feel like there's at least a percentage chance that one of the two guys that you need may not be available. Or, again, it could also mean that Fields plays and Simeon's no longer active, and it could mean Peterman's the backup and you have somebody on the practice squad as the third QB in case something went down on Sunday. So there's some permutations to that as well, but it does give you some pause. And I just thought the track of this particular game, with the teams having the records that they do, with it not having much implications on the playoffs, not that we were expecting it to anyway in Chicago, I'm fascinated by how these organizations view that position in the micro and then for Green Bay more specifically in the macro.
How have you seen the national view on the Bears evolve over the season compared to what you know being here?
I personally felt like most of us, and again, I'm not trying to do the LeBron meme thing right now where it's like, hey, I knew Bol Bol was going to be a star. Like, I'm not trying to do that. But I did feel like in the preseason, after we saw what we saw for really prolonged stretches, that there was real potential here. And I've said this multiple times on Bears broadcasts when we've had them. I've had them, I think, twice this year. This is what a developmental season looks like. Like, this is what it's supposed to be. You are in just about every game over the last handful of games. Last week, really notwithstanding. And again, that was without Fields. So the games that you've had, Justin, you are in just about every game. And guess what? They've blown some games that they probably should have won. The Detroit game, they probably should have won.
Washington.
But they were in it. Washington, they probably should have won if they execute in the red zone. But against Dallas, you're in it. Against Detroit, probably should win that game. There are games where I look and I think, hey, Minnesota, they were down 19 and they came back and took the lead in the fourth quarter. Like, there are games that you're going to lose in a developmental season, but what's the difference from last year to this year? You're losing by 15, 14, 12, 10 points last year. You're losing by 1, 2, 5 this year. That's a big difference, and I know that doesn't feel like that, but a possession jump from last year to this year is a big deal in this league that is so cyclical, that has so much parity, that has so many opportunities for so many teams to get better. It's easy to kind of fall by the wayside. And the Bears haven't done that this year when Justin Fields has been healthy ever since they kind of had that mini bye after the Washington Thursday night game. I've been very impressed overall with the progression of the offense. And I had a conversation with a Chicago native last night, our buddy Mike Farron, who we all love. We had a conversation about fans of the Bears being tired of living off the defense. And I think they're finally coming around to the idea that, yes, I want an offensive team. I want a solid, high-quality quarterback that can get me points on a consistent basis so we can be in these games, and you're starting to see that. And that's what a developmental year is supposed to look like, and the Bears are on the right track and progression for another jump, hopefully next year when they have another year under their belt, the defense gets a little bit older, and they have all that cap space.
Adam, I want to ask you a big picture national broadcast question that Dan and I have been talking about this past week as it pertains to Justin Fields. I really like when, and this game might provide some opportunities, there might be some dead spots inside of the game that provide opportunities for this. I love the conversation that's being had by play-by-play and analysts across the league, across different platforms, about where the quarterback position is going. I find it really fascinating to hear from the guys that played in the 90s or the early 2000s and how they're seeing the position itself change and maybe the way that we think and talk about the position changing.
So with this era of college football, let's call it maybe 10 years ago, where the spread really came into vogue, you know, the Chip Kelly teams at Oregon, you know, it's a little bit further back than that, but I think it really became in vogue across the country.
The Urban Meyer stuff at Utah.
I would say Joe Tiller at Purdue has to be mentioned as far as an early pioneer, some of it.
That's fair. And to go back to the mid-90s is a fair place to go, and then into the 2000s. But I think it really became like the thing probably 10 years ago. And it takes, Dan, to your point, it takes 10 years to kind of get into that. So I agree with you in that regard. But when it really became in vogue and you started to see the trickle down or the trickle up, I guess, in this particular case, where the feeder league of college football is getting all these dual threat type quarterbacks. And for 5 years, nobody really wanted to lean into it. You know, that's why you had like your Braxton Millers not really get a lot of push. You know, there are a couple of Ohio State quarterbacks that stuck out. That didn't really get a whole lot of run. And all of a sudden, as more and more quarterbacks out of college started to get to this point where they're dual threats, where they're running RPO game, where it's a lot of up-tempo stuff, and they're playing kind of like a 7-on-7 style, and that's translating to success on the field in college, GMs have no choice if they need a quarterback but to choose from that pool. And I think now, let's say 7 years later, that's going to be the main crop of quarterbacks. Look at all the quarterbacks that are struggling. And I think Chris Collinsworth talked about this the other night during the Packer game. They were saying Matthew Stafford struggling, Aaron Rodgers struggling, Tom Brady not where he's been at in years past. Like, these are traditional pocket passing quarterbacks in a league where defenses are really well adjusted to stop dual threat guys, or at least are trying to be well adjusted to stopping those types of players. The Bears are essentially, not by any doing of their own, more so the happenstance of not being a particularly great team for a period of time and having the opportunity to get draft picks at a higher number. And with the advent of this style of quarterback becoming in vogue, the Bears are all of a sudden finding themselves ahead of the curve. Like, I hope people realize how good of a position the Bears are in right now for next season, because they get to tailor everything specifically to the skill set of Justin Fields.
And they don't need to draft a quarterback.
They don't need to draft a QB. Now you can focus on the offensive line. You can focus on maybe the elite wide receiver that's going to come out of this class. The Bears are the number two pick right now as it stands. So you get your choice of an elite level college player. You have all the cap space that you could ask for Ryan Poles, who's going into year number two with a really solid young core that needs a lot of development and needs reps and needs time, for sure. But a lot of these young guys have talent. You've seen that from Brisker and Gordon at flashes. You've seen a much more consistent run of it with Fields. You've seen that with some of the young running backs. There is a lot of potential here that also elevates our own expectations of what this team is going to be next season. So if they don't progress, there's going to be a lot of conversation about Ryan Poles and about this coaching staff and about Justin Fields. All of that is going to take place. But right now, they're in a really good position going forward for these final few weeks to get good reps, important reps, and to prepare for next season when they're going to have a lot of opportunity to get better on paper, let alone get better on the field.
We broke down some Bulls stuff by the numbers earlier on in the show today, Adam. We listened to what Billy Donovan said after the Jazz game about the defensive issues that they've had, about getting their defense set early in a possession and knowing from where they're going to move, but making sure everybody starts out in the right place. I then looked at some numbers that were compiled by stat guru Jeff Fairer about the Bulls continuing to be comically reliant on long twos in a way that doesn't suggest a tremendous offensive sustainability. how can this group that they have together, this decidedly imperfect but still talented group, where does it go from here? Whether it's a play-in team or not this season, like when I don't know what we're looking at as far as medium term with this group. What do you see?
You know, that's a great thought, and it is a really hard thing to decipher. Because short term, we kind of know what this is, and long term, you hope you know what this is. Going forward, it is really hard to see what the next year, what the next 12 months looks like for this team. Because what kind of adjustments are they going to make in their roster next season? What are they going to look like, assuming that Lonzo Ball does come back? And again, I'm almost operating under the guise that he's not going to come back. Not because he's not going to come back. I do think he will. But that date has continuously been pushed further and further back. And now you're thinking, all right, probably January. Maybe All-Star break. Whatever. I haven't talked to anybody about that specifically. I'm just going by gut feel, the way it's kind of played out with the way this knee issue is bothering Lonzo. So you don't know what this team is going to be like come March at this point. So based on the profile that we're seeing now, I can't really give you a medium term. I can see a little bit maybe further short term that goes into that stretch of medium. I feel like this is a team right now that has to win and rely on being better defensively to win games. And what Billy Donovan talked about the other night, you saw that against Utah. You have to stop transition. Tonight is a very key game in terms of that. You have to stop transition. Come Sunday, and even Friday when they play Golden State, and come Sunday when they play Sacramento, that's a team that wants to run you out of the gym. They have so much speed. De'Aaron Fox wants to run up and down the floor and beat everybody and get easy two-pointers. If you're not back and set defensively, then you're going to lose games. And you can't just rely on DeMar DeRozan bailing you out of the mid-range all the time. Now in terms of offensive sustainability, I feel like you can still win games with this particular style of offense, but it has to be complemented by the type of defense that they've played in their 9 wins. They have the number 2 defensive rating in victories this season. Only Brooklyn's been better in their 11 wins, and Cleveland is number 3 in their 13 wins. The Bulls are number 2 in their 9 wins. When they get wins, it's clearly being done on the defensive end. So that's the short term of what this team looks like right now, but it's so hard to tell the medium term because you don't know the personnel that's going to be on the floor at all times. So if it is Lonzo healthy, yeah, they're better at both ends. If he's not healthy, but he's back, maybe he still improves them on the offensive end, but maybe doesn't do what he's capable of doing on the defensive end. There's just so many questions about it right now. But yeah, sustainability is the big key, and it has to be one on the defensive end right now.
There's something I wanted to point out on the postgame show. We didn't get to it time-wise, but it speaks to the 3-point defense that we saw, at least in the latter part of the game, Adam. And that was the steal by Patrick Williams, helping Alex Caruso on Kelly Olynyk, translates into points. That's a possession where we see a lot of growth and some change defending the 3-point shooter.
I think that when this team was really struggling, in the paint especially, it was because they really didn't know when to bring in help side defense and from where it needed to come. And they still had problems with that, Layla, on Monday. Stacey pointed out a couple of times, like, you need to know who you're rotating off of.
Yes.
So obviously, and that you made the great point with Olynyk. That's not a guy you can really rotate off of, or if you have a better option to rotate off of, you have to take it. So if they can clean that stuff up in the half court, because I think with Caruso and Williams and Green and whenever he's on the floor, they get all these deflections. That's not necessarily in the open floor. This is in set defense. That's why Donovan wants him back in set defense so quickly, because they're good. They're not bad by any means. They're a solid defensive team in the half court, as long as they know who they're rotating off of. That's why teams like Phoenix provide problems, because they have a multitude of shooters. And Dan, we've talked about this, right? Everybody in the NBA outside of maybe the Lakers and a couple other teams has multiple 3-point threats. So if they come in, if the Bulls scout well, if they're aware of these things on the floor, they have combinations where they don't have to send two guys to the offensive glass. Andre Drummond can be left by himself on the offensive glass to try to get a rebound. And if he doesn't get it, the rest of the team can go back and try to get into a half-court set on the defensive end. I think it's just being aware situationally that for whatever reason this team hasn't been great at, I'm not saying they've been bad, I just don't feel like they've been where you'd like them to be in terms of their defensive awareness. And I do think we saw flashes of it. You need to see that more consistently. And if they're going to have a decent road trip the rest of this way, they're going to have to be very good on that these next three games.
Well, I know nobody can say it, and it seems that this is stuff that I can say that other people can't say, but I have come to the conclusion that DeMar DeRozan is a monkey's paw in the idea that there's something that, for all the good, there is a downside, and I see why he's on another team now. Why there's a curse to this, to living. He's a spectacular old school player, but the anachronistic nature of his game, now combined with some defensive issues, now combined with not, because he's fallen down to try to draw the foul, or he's looking at the referee and he's not back. This reminds me now of aging, a better version of an aging Dwayne Wade. And okay. I know there's stuff that you're not allowed to say. You're just not allowed to say these things because DeMar is DeMar and he's the star and all that stuff. But there's downside that comes with him that is getting magnified now with Zach losing some of his athleticism.
I'll say it this way. I don't think it's not necessarily you're not allowed to say that. I feel like when we evaluate NBA players in particular, we talk about what you're giving up to gain something else, because everybody's got a deficiency, right? Shaquille O'Neal was the slowest dude on the floor and he couldn't shoot free throws. Right. We talked about those deficiencies plenty. But when you make up for it in such a dramatic way on the offensive end, and as a shot blocker as well, but when you make up for it as such a dramatically good offensive player and a great rebounder, when you do all the other things, you have to be willing in the NBA to give up something. Not every player is complete.
Right.
There's maybe, I don't know, what do you think, 10 to 15 guys that you would pick out on any given season where you go, that is a complete elite NBA player at both ends of the floor. There's not that many out there. There's a lot of good ones, but I'm saying like the elite of the elite. And if DeMar is an elite offensive player, which I believe by most standards he is, mm-hmm. you have to be willing to give up certain things to be able to get that, because he does look at the refs for a foul, but he also draws those fouls more than just about any player we're going to watch over the course of the season. He gets those calls as well. So to be able to maintain that, he has to maintain a certain level of aggressiveness, and he has to be in the ref's ear once in a while to make sure that they're looking for certain things that complement his game. Is that the best way to live, Dan? Probably not. Probably not overall in a long season, and then when you got to go into a crucial playoff series. So I get where you're coming from. I would also say in DeMar's defense of that particular argument, you could say that for 90% of players in the NBA, but then that's how you evaluate them. Are you essentially, what's the old baseball line for, like, you know, are you driving home more than you're letting up, essentially? Mm-hmm. Are you scoring more than you're letting up? And on the nights where, at the very least, you're putting a lot more in on the offensive end, you're getting what you need to get done on the defensive end, those are the nights where a lot of those problems are masked or completely mitigated.
That was a very lucid and complete response to my concerns, and it is much appreciated.
No worries, buddy.
Adam, you're the best, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Talk to you guys later, guys. Appreciate you.
See
you.
Thanks, Adam.
That's Adam Amin. He's a great listen, and one thing I love that he does is he's such a student of the craft of play-by-play that he mentioned Jim Durham the other night. He mentioned Johnny Most the other night. Like, he takes what he does very, very seriously and takes the people who have done that job at a very high level. He knows their work and is a proper steward of the position that he's in.
He's also on time. Back after this on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's that time of year, the time of the year where we find the wise.
Can I just say that I mentioned this, and shout out to our homie Maggie Hendricks, who we were mentioning off the air. She posted something last night because she had seen a picture of a video of Jasmine Guy in a Christmas movie.
That was Jasmine Guy.
Where Jeffrey the Butler, I guess, is her love interest in the movie. And I had seen a different movie with Jasmine Guy in a Christmas movie where Professor Ogilvy from the Parkers was her love interest. But pretty much any time there is Jasmine Guy content, I am here for it. And if you haven't seen her and Kadeem Hardison's interview with the Breakfast Club, it is excellent. But it is that time of year, so you'll be seeing weird combinations in Christmas movies.
Is it the Christmas Pact?
The new one is, I think the Christmas Pact is the one where it's her and Jeffrey the Butler.
Okay.
She's also in a movie where it's a family name. It's the blah, blah, blahs or whatever. But I'm like, this is Jasmine Guy.
So I thought that we were on to something with our fake Hallmark Christmas movie from last year called Finding the Wise, where Dan read the spoof from McSweeney's, and then we created it in a dark scenario.
And we created, like, to be specific for people who are just football. Now listening, we created it for Layla because she's the perfect candidate for one of these types of movies.
But I'm not
hard
from...
working single woman from the big city, always a journalist.
Happy holidays from NBC5.
Goes home to her hometown, and there's that one crush who now is working at a lumber yard.
Correct.
I won't tell you guys about the time I didn't recognize my ex-boyfriend at the Target for no good reason other than I just hadn't seen him in a while.
Did he have a full beard?
Had he become a fat?
No, he looked good and was wearing a hat. And I was like, that guy's cute. Then I'm like, oh, I dated you for 3 years. Okay.
Damn,
so, I am so ashamed. I'm like, I'm a horrible person. Hey, I just gone through a divorce, okay? And he was the guy I dated before that. All right, so.
Hat seemed to throw her off. Did I ever tell you about the time she didn't recognize me because I was wearing a hat?
Yeah, hats do throw me off. I think it's because I'm short and it's the angle I see people at or something.
I was like, I'm me.
Whoa.
She's like, not with that hat on, you're not.
Dude, you could have put a mustache on it. I've been like, I totally believe this is a different person.
Like Theo in the stands at a game?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah, right. 100%. Yeah. And that's sober. So I came across a reel from a radio station in Canada that really called us all out.
No, I don't have time for family. I don't have time for Christmas.
Pretzel?
I don't have time for pretzels! Your next assignment is go to this small town, and you're gonna write the meanest article ever about them. I want them to never, ever economically recover. So, I've decided I'm moving to a small town.
Hey Anderson, how's my exploitative tech company going? We're putting asbestos back in the walls? I love it, A+.
So, are you okay with it?
He says yes with a thumbs
up. A bookstore? I haven't seen one of those in years. Oh, sorry. So what do you guys do for fun around here?
Sorry. Oh, well, we really love Christmas.
Do you like books?
I can't read.
I think I love him.
Well, it has been 2 days. You should follow your heart. I'm gonna open a store that only sells dolls made out of acorns.
Your blog is blowing up.
17 likes.
CNN wants to interview you.
Get on the next flight back, okay? I want to promote you to president of the company.
You're breaking up with me?
Yes, and you know what? I never liked your exploitative tech company.
Hold on, you and I've got another call. Hey, Henderson.
Hey, I read your mean blog about our town, by the way.
I thought you didn't know how to read.
I learned how to, just for you.
In 2 days?
Affirmative. And I found several grammatical errors in your blog as well.
Can you ever forgive me?
Only if you stay here and celebrate Christmas every single day with me. Forever.
Deal.
Now you know the true meaning of Christmas.
How did you find me here?
I always know where you are.
Santa?
Maybe.
They're on to us. My favorite is the jerk boyfriend with the exploitative tech company. Just,
I never liked your exploitative tech company.
You're putting asbestos back into the walls? A+.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it's always some friend named Henderson.
Oh, God.
I knew you two would like that. Shout out to the radio station in Canada.
Sorry.
Sorry. And he's holding the book upside down.
I have to admit, last night, my wife was watching this long documentary about the anniversary of Love Actually.
Yeah, that's been like a thing. Like a lot of people have been celebrating that.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, they have.
I like watching the
interviews with Emma Thompson and who else is in it? Hugh Grant, who still looks terrific, by the way.
So does Emma Thompson. And you got to see a lot of her lately, too.
Laura Linney. She made a deal with some. There is a portrait of her in an attic somewhere that's aging. She looks up incredible.
Hey, this isn't algorithm time, okay?
Sorry. I've always been a huge Laura Linney fan. But I
Alan Rickman?
Yeah. Well, they didn't interview him because he's very dead.
Right.
But I had
because
no
of
idea.
What happened in Nakatomi?
No, that's Hans Gruber. He's also dead.
Oh.
But his brother's coming back.
Is it because of what happened with Harry Potter?
I don't know what happened to
didn't
Snape
he
and
lead
Harry Potter.
That Slytherin house?
He did.
He was a Death Eater, was he not? But yeah, I really didn't know about the whole cult.
Tio, it's Christmas.
It's a time of miracles.
He's also dead.
But the fandom of that film was really quite something. They interviewed the director and they said, "What do you think about what's happened to this film in the last 20 years?" And if I had known, it makes me wish my movie were better.
That was pretty funny.
It was hysterical.
I do love the bit of like all the animals at the Christmas pageant. And one of them's like, "What animal are you at the Christmas pageant?" "I'm the lobster." There was a lobster present.
Look, Layla's got to go. Like, we've been joking about her photo shoot.
No, she's
got to. Okay, photo shoot is fancy. I think I'm just shooting like a video promo.
Okay, fine. But
Hi, from the lame single woman. Happy holidays from NBC5.
My point is that we need to take a break so that we can come back so we can share the joy of the caller to the Mully and Haw show.
Yeah, you guys really need to hear this.
Back after this on The Score.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. An Odyssey Station.
Bear fans, I'm excited to be the head football coach, and we're getting to work today. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the McCaskey family for giving me this opportunity. And we're going to bring the world championship back to Chicago. Bear down. Let's go.
As long as you didn't say McCaskey.
Do you know that there's a Take the North podcast where anything that has to do with the Bears is being discussed by David Haw and Dan Wiederer? They do it wherever it is you get your podcast. If, for example, you were looking at organizations win championships podcast, you can find the Take the North podcast right there. That's two mentions.
Look at that.
Podcast.
go podcast.
That has
you sound like Jim Ross. Shapiro.
I was trying to help with the hype.
We appreciate it. Everyone needs a good hype woman.
By the way, the Fleetwood Mac social media accounts just announced that Christine McVie has died.
I'm not okay with that.
That sucks. They're one of the very few bands with multiple lead singers, men and women.
They put on a great show at the United Center a few years ago. Are we?
Yes.
Are we going to do this?
We are.
Do we have
time?
Well,
he was talking about bringing a championship, and now we know exactly when it's going to be.
Jeff is in Joliet. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good to check in with you.
Thank you.
On a Wednesday, talking about resources and the season. And what are we going to do? We got a lot of work to do in the technicals. But the bottom line, I think, is the Super Bowl will come when the stadium comes, you know?
What?
By the way,
oh, there was so much more to that call.
I feel like that guy's...
You guys cut him off.
I feel like that guy's Canadian.
I think the guy is a robot. I mean, that was like a Mad Lib.
No,
you really could have applied it to many things. Hey, Jeff. Tell me about the Bears' offense so far this season.
The Super Bowl will come when the stadium comes, you know?
Or the technicals.
And he didn't quite explain why or how.
Re-rack the whole thing, and I want you to tune back into, like, your Canadian friends, like every hockey player that we've ever talked to.
Organization.
Okay? Listen.
Jeff is in Joliet. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Good to check in with you.
Thank you.
On a Wednesday, talking about resources and the season. And what are we going to do? We got a lot of work to do in the technicals. But the bottom line, I think, is the Super Bowl will come when the stadium comes, you know?
They didn't hear A. The pronunciations, there were no tell words.
The
like,
long O's.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that I don't think whole so. Call is a Odyssey and crazy.
An Odyssey.
And it's an Odyssey podcast.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, he kind of said that there was that the stadium.
No, there's so much more to it.
I wasn't able to decipher. I don't know. I need to hear more.
Oh yeah.
But from my understanding, it was okay.
There was a lot. They let him talk, which I think they should have. But then we all got to be entertained. It was in the 6:30 hour of Mully and Haw.
It was.
Go back and listen on the Odyssey Rewind. You can find it.
So this text came in after our previous discussion from the 563. She's a professional Christmas decorator. He's the Antichrist. See if she can show him the real meaning of Christmas in Hallmark of the Beast. That's good.
Best
that's good.
Texter
yeah.
ever.
I hope you didn't steal that. I hope that was just yours. That's funny.
Good luck with your promo shoot thing.
Can't wait.
I actually really want, now that you told us that you're wearing green and Allison's wearing red, I need like a back-to-back buddy cop movie picture of the two of you.
One of us is stable. Happy holidays from NBC5. I'm just going to keep these things going.
Go do a couple tequila shots first.
No, yeah. I have to talk on television.
Yeah, later.
I don't think you understand how bad my tolerance is.
She's small and her tolerance is
off. I don't understand how bad my tolerance is right now, but that's another story.
Two shots of tequila will be the most interesting and the last sportscast that Layla Rahimi does.
I mean, I just would get more sarcastic, I think.
This is what I'm saying.
Way more sarcastic. Yeah.
I think you should just do it. And actually now, it actually makes a lot more
sense.
Guys,
no. I have trouble talking sober. I'm not going to do that.
Well, either
way. Happy holidays from NBC5. Just everything, every like self-assessing statement. I'm like, happy holidays.
Holidays.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.